I know it's part of the culture in our society that you have to be the best and you have to beat everybody else. But in order to be able to do that, you also need to understand that you can only be successful when you make possible that the success can be shared or that others have that same opportunity of being successful as you are. The growth only happens when you have around you a good team or a good network of people who are on that level.
Welcome to the Break the Chains, Find Your Flame podcast. Our goal of this podcast is to provide insight and wisdom into all things mental health, to sit down with individuals and talk about their journey, how they've broken free from the chains that bind them, to find their flame, their passions, and purpose. Welcome back to the podcast. We are super excited to have you here today for episode 3. Our guest today is amazing. He's an experienced media creator with a demonstrated history of working in music, broadcasting, and the media industry. Skilled audio engineering, sound, video editing, journalism, social media, radio hosting, radio production and programming, voice acting, musician, and a DJ. I usually don't give you all such a detailed list of who the guest is in the beginning, but I think it's very apropos for what we're doing today. Our guest is Johan Rashi Vega, and the reason why it's so important is because Johan and I sit down and we talk a lot about music and communication, even beyond language, using music and storytelling and the cultural background of storytelling to really connect with people and make a difference in the world. That's pretty much it. We talk about so much stuff in this episode. I'm so excited for you all to listen to it and to hear of Johan's background. But it was just really cool to sit down and talk to someone about how we can communicate with people, even if we don't know the language, and how music kind of bridges that gap in different forms of storytelling. The episode 3 is called Beats, Rhymes, and Life, because we talk about hip hop in the episode, and I had to just throw it out there for all the Tribe Called Quest fans. That's the name of a great album and really is essential to any hip hop listener and demonstrates exactly what we're talking about with storytelling. They do a great job, and Johan does a great job. So I'm going to stop talking, and I'm going to let you all listen to this episode. Really excited for you to hear it, and you know, send us some messages if you really are vibing with it and you really like what we talked about. So without further ado, here's Johan Rashi Vega.
Now, we met years ago, I think, at PodCamp. Was the first time I had any interaction with you before the pandemic really hit. And I always, we've gone back and forth a couple of times of getting on the podcast, because I've always really liked how you hold yourself and how you kind of move through the world and what you do. And I don't usually prepare for this, but in some preparation today for our podcast, I did watch a recent video you did from a series that was called like Stories Connect Us. I think it was in March you did that. And I was really moved by it. I wrote down in my notes, ugly crying, because towards the end, you opened up a lot about some of your story and how it connects to what you do today. And it was very touching. So even more amped to talk today. But as you know, we usually start off with just a quick introduction of yourself, what your origin story is. And so I'll kick it over to you so you can talk a little bit about that.
Thank you. Well, my name is Johan Rashi Vega. I am born and raised in Mexico City. And over there, I got to get initiated into music. I started learning music at the age of six. And then I got immersed into, I was always attracted to technology and the art because of music. So that kind of like created a path that involved music with innovation and technology on that. So at some point, media became another way of getting all of this mixed, particularly radio. I got the opportunity of visiting radio station because I was part of a music ensemble that, and being like 9, 10 years old, going to visit a radio station was like an amazing experience. Yeah. I fell in love with that, and I wanted to somehow get into that type of work, that type of life. And that kind of led for me to do basically dedicated to study media production, communications, journalism, all that whole field. And then I left Mexico. I moved out because I knew I wanted to do things that at that time over there were not going to be possible at all. And also I wanted to just expand my vision of my perception of the world, not only by you can read or see on pictures or movies or TV. I wanted to see it myself. So I lived in Puerto Rico for 12 years, and during that time I started as a volunteer at the public radio station, WRTU, and eventually I found my way into different positions there, becoming in the end program director. And that basically was the catapult for many, many things that happened. And that they have to do with what I do today. So actually me creating a podcast was more like the need to continue doing the work that I was doing as a public radio broadcaster. And with that, all the values and mission of that, of connecting with people, providing information of value, and even if it is not necessarily hard topics to discuss, if it is for entertainment, thinking about arts and culture with a value that could be of enrichment or discovery. So that's where the podcast that I created, Radio Plasma, has still now that mixture of a little bit of everything. That actually the description is conversations, stories, music, performances, and randomness.
I like that. That's awesome.
So with that, as a way to do something on my own, and also exploring the fact that podcasting now, and now we can see it, is the new mainstream media. Still talking about 2015 when it started, still for many people the word podcast was, what exactly is that? I heard it, but I don't really get how that works. And now pretty much everybody knows it and is even interested into getting there. Part of the work that I'm doing right now as part of the staff of Holyoke Media, the community access television station in Holyoke, includes a lot of education part of. I work a lot with youth. I have students from high school, early college, and I am helping them to find their voice and find their ways to create and produce content for radio, that one of their manifestations is through podcast, that can be their ways to talk about their issues and what's on their minds. Because in the end, it's not only about the, yes, it's cool being on camera and being on the air, but how you can utilize these tools to make it something of value, something that can help and educate and bring up the representation of cultures, of ideas, of people, of identities. So many things that we need, and yeah, having the access for it by the people, I think, is something beautiful, magical. And if I can help, especially the younger generation to get acquainted with it. I hope that helps a little bit to continue this medium to evolve in the right way.
Yeah. Thank you. That was a great introduction on, you know, what you're doing and what your passions are. And I'm trying really hard not to say I love it or that's awesome, because every guest I have on, I always say that after they're done doing it. So I'm being mindful to the listeners. I don't want to hit all that repeating aspect of things, but I'm going to say it. I love that. It's awesome. As a therapist, you know, I really spend a lot of time with youth, and I think really helping youth find their voice in a way that can connect to other youth in different ways is really fantastic and affirming, you know, to have people out there talking about issues or talking about culture or music or whatever their interests are. And I think this is what we're seeing with some of social media aspects of the positive side of TikTok might be you're connecting with people who might have like-minded things or going through similar situations. And like you're saying, podcast has become one of those big media platforms now. Whereas when we talk about driving in the car, most people will say, oh, I'm listening to music or a book. And now podcast is the top three thing that people kind of connect with, or doing chores around the house or whatever, exercising. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really cool that you're helping invest in the youth of that way, so they can find their voice in a way that can be fun, serious, all of the above. Like you said, randomness I really enjoyed that part of what you were talking about, because I think it's so true. We just had for the first episode of this season was a guest came on and we talked about DEI, specifically of the connecting pieces and the hope for the future with DEI. And I think that's really what we're talking about with what you're talking about, people getting their voice out, is sitting with people, talking with people, and getting to know people is really important, especially now in our communities. And that's kind of like always been the theme of what we wanted to do with this podcast, is just getting people's voices out there. And if one person could connect to it, it's job well done, right? Like, you know, it's not about always being on camera or getting all the listeners, about making those connections. And that's what's really resonated with me listening to your stuff, is I get that feeling from you.
Yeah. And actually one thing that more and more I keep applying when allowing and helping people find their voices and to begin to utilize the platforms, is that I feel I am in that point in life where I know I can say things and I can share what I know, but I don't want to be the one holding the microphone and keeping it for me.
Yeah.
Because we see that way too much happening on mainstream media, and pretty much whoever holds the microphone and keeps it for themselves. And I am trying to not do that anymore and remove myself, so that way the voices that are beginning to get familiar with being in front of the microphone can actually feel that ownership and feel able to say what's in their mind, not feeling that they have to meet certain expectations or that they have to sound certain type of way. Is let your voice be heard, express yourself. And to your point of that, that beauty that comes with the diversity that you can get to discover, you can hear so many different type of voices, the textures, but also when we are talking about different cultures, not only internationally, just here in our local environment, you have different accents, you have different ways of use of vocabulary, and that richness is always so magical to appreciate it through sound. Because we take it for granted, but then when you hear it in a way that you can only perceive it through the sound, kind of like gets you more aware of, wow, we have so many different textures and tones and sounds for expressing ourselves, and it's all in our own ecosystem.
Yeah,
even more an enhanced experience when we are listening to people from other countries, that they use other languages, And even that code switching or mixture of languages, so we can all understand everything at once. I think that has been always fascinating, but now because of this medium, it's even more easy for everybody to experience it. And I think that also promotes the opportunity of learning more about how we communicate.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard this, but when you were setting up the microphone, I wasn't sure if my microphone was going through, but I was talking about the tonal change from where you were connected to before to that, and just like you get this richness or this butteriness of a voice when you have a higher end microphone kind of pulling through, and that texture I think is really important because we don't talk about that stuff enough, To get a little geeky, I know you mentioned not geeking out when you've had like celebrities on and talking to them or people that you know. You say, I can't be geeky, but I'm gonna be geeky in this podcast. It's well established. I really enjoy just how different frequencies of voice and different modulations of texture of the voice can kind of shift how we hear and respond to each other, and finding that connecting point can be different for each person, but there is a richness that keeps coming up in how we can celebrate those differences or really connect to that. And I think music obviously is like a great intonation of that, right? It's this idea of, oh, okay, let me build off maybe some of what was mainstream to connect in that way, but add my own flavor. I think of hip hop a lot about this is it's a culture that's grown from taking different locales and different local kind of places and growing and emerging and adding your own kind of twist to it. And it's really fun to see that growth and that development.
Yeah, thinking about how the patterns and even melodic patterns as well exist in hip hop. And it sounds weird that I'm saying melodic when there is actually more like words. But if we listen to specific hip hop by years, if we talk about the hip hop of the 90s, you can immediately know it is 90s hip hop
Yeah, you know what error you're in when you hear
because they have a specific type of speed of flow. The modulations, ups and downs are very specific. And they have even a metric sequence that is similar among all the songs on those years.
Yeah.
When we listen to more modern contemporary hip hop, and I know I am putting it under the big umbrella. I know the ones who are
That's
into this
fine.
are going to say
Yeah.
that is not hip hop, it's trap, or it's, they
Yeah.
have now more specific names of the branches. But one thing that is very specific now is the rhythmic patterns are way faster. So the rhythm is slower. So you can put more sounds and more rhythmic elements into a slower speed. But that way, instead of in the old school when it was tum 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 tum, now it is ta 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 ta, and you keep kind of like doubling that
Yeah.
to add the skill of talking that fast and keeping up with the rhythm. That is one of the most notable things you can identify. And that is the identity of music at a specific time.
Yeah.
It will be interesting to see how this evolves 5 years from now and how hip hop is going to sound like. It may keep some of these elements, of course, but something new is going to come from it.
Right.
And then that will be the sound and the identity of that and how voices adapt to sound that way. You can even tell that the voices tend to sound similar based on the years. And that is another interesting phenomenon of adaptation and wanting to have a common code that includes even how do you project your voice, so that way you can be heard and perceived on point of what is happening at this current time.
Right. I like that you mentioned that because of you know, when you think of, you know, let's say the 80s and the Sugar Hill Gang, there's a definite cadence to that. And then as you move throughout the decades, it starts shifting. And you're right, there is that, and it keeps ramping up. I've always been really connected to people who could change that flow and not skip a beat, and you know, to do that, but then also have a story that they're telling, which is my first introduction to hip hop was storytelling, like Slick Rick or, you know, Tribe Called Quest or some of those eras. I was a little too young for Slick Rick, right at the beginning, but have gone back, and I've always liked, you know, being able to change the flow or the cadence, but then also not losing the strength of the words that you're using and actually connecting to a story or to like a message that you're trying to do. And I think that it just makes the mind move so quickly, and problem solving is very, very interesting to see how people can do that. I cannot do that. I've tried in the past. I like writing lyrics, but it's the flow I haven't been great at in the past. I'm putting myself on blast for playing around with that, but you know, I like playing around with different things of that nature.
But definitely it's a respectable skill for the ones who can keep the flow and spit fire with their lyrics, knowing that they are really putting out a strong message, and at the same time showing off their skills on keeping with a rhythm that is challenging. It's not an easy thing for whoever thinks that, oh, doing that, anyone can do it. It is not easy. Like,
No.
I want to see you try, because keeping up with the beat, that is the first challenge to show that you are up to the game.
Yeah, keeping time is really important in that aspect. And yeah, I think it keeps underlying this ongoing message of what we're talking about is this idea of the connection through sound, but then also through tone and message, right? Is like this inclusive ability to kind of connect with someone regardless of difference in the background, based on like mutual interests, is really important to cultivate and to share stories and to share messages of that way, and to sit with people is really important. And you know, in radio or in podcasts or you know, in storytelling, there's a lot of sitting with that I think isn't highlighted. Like it's guaranteed time with someone, whether it's you're not directly in front of them or it's over the airwaves or things of that nature. But by just sitting, there's a connective ability to that. It's like, okay, you're captivated for this period of time, and there are stories or messages or, you know, randomness that's coming up in that. And it's opening up to kind of open those doors. And like you were saying, not gatekeep the microphone. It's like, all right, here's this. Go with it. See what resonates with you.
Yeah, it's and when you hear what new voices are bringing, just because they are being given the opportunity, it's just mind blowing that it actually got me thinking, how can I give more microphones to people? Because it's needed. It's needed. We need to hear these voices, and when you hear them feeling with that agency, you know that they have been wishing for something like this for maybe a long time, and they are having that opportunity. And right now, I think it's more than ever an important thing to let people feel that capacity of them to express themselves and share what's on their minds. And it could be, you know, pretty much for anything: storytelling, advocating for the topics that they care for, having fun.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's the beauty about, you know, one of the beauties about our technology is like if you have a phone, there's a built-in microphone, right? So you can do things with that. Maybe some people don't connect to, oh yeah, I have a microphone, I can re record stuff. But again, not to harp on social media, but that's what I think we're seeing. A lot of people who haven't had that access in older generations may not understand why it's so important to the youth to be doing that, but it is, there is a validation to it. Now, is there another side of social media? Of course, like there's always with new tech, there's always going to be these back and forths, or new things are introduced. There's always going to be a weighing out. Oh, okay, what are the pros and the cons? But I've seen a lot of people that I counsel or younger people that I've connected with through programming that we do at the Promethean Project really feel validated, right? Like, oh, here's a voice. They have the same diagnosis or they have the same background. And this is how they kind of move through life. Oh, okay. I can take some of what they're sharing. Maybe that will help me out in a similar situation. And, you know, like, you know, if we go back to that age of people not talking about things or that silence or not sharing family dynamics or what's come up, I feel like in those generations, there was a real disservice to people because you're not connecting with a lot of different voices. You only have the ones that raised you or your close friends. And it's really hard to understand how the world works. Like you were saying, when you went to Puerto Rico, wanting to expand, wanting to consume more, wanting to see that. And I think that's the beauty of storytelling in general, but also culture and environments and, you know, community.
Mm-hmm. And when we are exploring into finding how these mediums can be utilized, yes, of course, we see every day on just by scrolling in any of the social media platforms, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yep.
And it is, of course, really easy to keep more attention on the bad and the ugly. But when it comes about the good things, how can that be emulated, replicated, and amplified even more? That is the part that I don't see that many people really taking that advantage and passing it on to say, okay, this is how we create the balance. Because it's easy to open up a microphone, go online on social media, and start ranting about things that are not good or not going well. But what about sharing the things that fill you with joy? The things that are a moment of light, a moment of peace, serenity, inspiration, or just even a quiet moment. I remember one time at the station in Puerto Rico, I did a really, really weird thing of giving the audience 15 seconds of silence on the air. Just so you can enjoy the silence. And sometimes that could be off-putting, could be even uncomfortable. But the beauty of that is when the sound comes back, you feel like you're landing in solid ground. And that feeling kind of like meets the purpose of that silence. Maybe the silence itself was not the nice experience, but it's what comes after that. And I think that is what I'm trying to do whenever I am creating episodes or programming or helping others to find a way to create something. Because, yeah, it's so easy to just go on and rant or improvise or be goofy. But we have so much to share. And there is so much to discover from each other. But maybe we need that push, that mutual push to, yeah, let's go for it. Let's do it.
Yeah, I like that. I get a lot of people I meet throughout the world and you know, different communities, different backgrounds. It's one of the joys I have for the work that I do is being able to connect to people and help process, you know, some of the stuff that's going on with them. But for me, one of the great joys I have is being able to see people authentically or having them show up authentically. And sometimes it's, you know, a kid who's going on about a game that they love. And I have no idea what this game is because I'm not a gamer. and they're telling me all these intricacies, but I really enjoy seeing them passionate about that thing and the value that that thing gives them. So even if they're information dumping something I have no idea about or something I may not personally be in, you can see that quality of, hey, this brings me great joy or great connection, depending on what we're talking about. And it really is a beautiful thing to see in someone. And that's why I like that idea of, oh, everyone, you get a microphone and you do whatever you want. Because I do think, you know, just in that process, we can create these moments that are really beautiful and really connecting and, you know, helps people show up authentically, I think. You know, I always joke around when I start the podcast or do the introduction to the podcast that I put on like an announcer voice, because it's like, oh, this is what people expect. It's a fun thing I like to do, but it's also, you know, that's for fun. I like the whole point of the podcast is authenticity for me. And I, you know, sitting with people and trying to find that theme of what we're talking about. Like, you and I didn't plan any of this, you know. And like we I said, I don't do any prep. But I wanted to watch some of this content you had out there. And for me, that's joyful to just kind of be like, okay, let's sit here and kind of see what comes up and what we can bring out in each other. I like that concept you were talking about of the 15 seconds of silence. Something we had to do in therapy training was, hey, don't rush in to pull stuff along because you miss so much content or so much of what's going on for a person if you just try to fill that silence.
And also when we think about into the therapeutic aspects, during the time I was actually working with youth, particularly with the goal of giving them access to activities and to learning things that could help them to cope with situations that they were going through at that time. So I had to be extremely aware of all the different implications that the social emotional load can bring when you are sitting in front of a microphone, knowing that even if it is just you, the one listening to yourself, that is going to generate a reaction. The hope is that becomes a positive one, but also it could be something that is really scary, because the first thing that made me realize more than ever, and that changed my whole perspective, is that we are not taught to listen to ourselves. We don't know our voice. That's why we react the way we react when we hear ourselves for the first time. There is another scientific reason to it as well that has to do with resonance.
Right.
Our brain responds to the resonance of our body. That is a vibration that we identify as the sound of our voice, not actually the sound itself.
Right, yeah.
So when we hear it from an outside source, that misvibration is what makes you feel, wait, that's me? I sound like that?
Yeah.
Because we are not used to that. Just the sound of it without the resonance that we feel when we talk.
Right.
But putting that on the side, when we are not even made aware that, yeah, when you talk, you can be heard. You should be heard. And when that happens internally, it can be a really overwhelming feeling.
Yeah. I grew up with a speech impediment. And so I had to go to speech therapy quite a bit. And so when I first started doing some of the podcasting, I was joking around with you before that I don't really edit. But when I first started, I did way too much editing, because I don't like the hemming or hawing or the likes, or oh, that felt like a little bit of a lisp. I don't know if I want to include it. And then, like we were just talking about, the whole point was authenticity. And so that's why I'll obviously edit some stuff out if there's like big issues, but I really like having the authentic conversation, you know, pauses and all, you know, missteps on my end, missteps on other people's ends, all because I think it really grounds people into, oh, this is a real conversation. It's not overly produced. It's just two people talking or sitting and being in community with each other.
Yeah, and because when podcasts began, it was an actual reflection of what was happening on the air on public radio, particularly. So podcasts were created in order to make available for listeners some specific shows they could not listen to when they were aired. It is hard to think right now that you had to actually turn on the radio or the TV to experience the program at a specific time and at that specific station or channel. Otherwise, you miss it. So podcasts basically began what we now experience throughout all the different mediums as streaming. Because then what people could hear was exactly the recording of what went on the air. So for many years, the structure was to try to emulate just that and try to sound like if you are doing radio. But the problem is when you don't know the structure internally and you don't have the training or the experience of doing that on a daily basis, then is when it feels, oh, I am supposed to sound like the people on the radio.
Right.
Look like the people on TV. And then with time, you begin to realize, no, you don't. And it's okay, actually. And to your point, that authenticity of being who you are, that's what makes it compelling. And that's what makes it real for people to see we are just talking and we are having a real talk.
Yeah, that uniqueness is what gives value to what's happening. It's the beauty of what's happening is your own uniqueness, whether it's how you look or how you sound or how you move through the world. That is what often kind of brings that value into what you do. And so to not honor that is, you know, in a weird way, you're trying to bring value. You're kind of taking away from value if you're not honoring yourself that way. That's awesome.
Yeah, even myself during the production and evolution of Radio Plasma, I remember the intro was way more produced in its beginnings. And eventually I started to make it shorter and shorter and shorter because, yeah, you are keeping the standards that, of what you will do when you are on the radio. And that makes sense when you are on the air on radio. But when you are now available online and who is going to listen to you is choosing to listen to you, many of those things don't matter anymore. So you don't need to be redundant in certain things. And that changes the whole approach. And I'm glad of that because you don't have to be that pretentious about what you're doing. It's here we are. Let's talk.
Yeah. I do want to shift gears a little bit. I know in listening to some of the speaking engagements you've done in the past, I know that you were talking about that love for radio when you were younger. And I think you were talking about you and your sibling really running it with it, being younger, doing, you know, different iterations of what the radio would sound like and kind of finding your own. That really resonated with me because, my cousin, my sister, and I used to, when we were younger, used to make movies to, one, to entertain ourselves, but again, to find our version of storytelling. They're often like X-Men action figures or Dragon Ball Z action figures, or sometimes we would act out the parts. And it became a huge love language for us to the point where in high school, I used to convince my teachers instead of doing a project, they would let me make a movie of what the assignment was. And so listening to you talk about you and your sibling doing that, I was like, oh, I know exactly what that is. For us, it was movies and storytelling through movies.
Yeah, we started with radio, but then eventually when we got a video camera, yeah, we shifted it into doing exactly with action figures and doing sketches and stop motion. So it was, yeah, it was really interesting to discover because there was no way to know or to find information on YouTube as many of us do today. You have to figure it out somehow. and watching a movie over and over and over when that was possible, because even that was not an option. Having a VCR where you could watch a movie over and over again was still in the 80s, something really hard to come by.
Yeah.
So I think that fascination of discovering how you can do something, even if it is, like I was saying, silly and for fun, but seeing that it is possible is like discovering a lot of possibilities that can be done. And those are things you can actually apply for anything else in life in terms of, you were mentioning actually, problem solving and finding solutions to things whenever you think, oh, we are trapped in a box and there is no way out of here. Oh, no, actually, there are more than one ways out.
It's always an interesting thing to play around with. Is there are more than one way to solve the problem, but we often use the same way, just with different small changes, right? We often think, oh, I'm trying this new way, but it's just a different variation of the way that we've already always tried, which is why that old adage, think outside the box, is often kind of done, because we have a pattern and we think we're doing something different, and sometimes we are, and sometimes it's just the same thing. A different orientation, so to speak. But I do like that. I mean, and it's important to fail when you do this stuff,
Oh, yes.
because that's how you kind of find what works for you. We when we were doing the movies, we would cut in these weird little commercials, and like to the point where I think I remember doing like a hemorrhoid commercial and not knowing what hemorrhoids were. And we use like a VHS like sleeve, like the sleeves they used to have on them, the ones that you could just slide them out. And I would hold it up like it was a tube of something, and it was like, oh, hemorrhoids got you down, or something weird like that. But again, we were just playing around with, okay, this is what we saw. How do we interpret it in our own way? How do we find what connects with us? And my cousin actually went on to be pretty establish on YouTube and have a following, just doing skits and like small cut clips and things of that nature. And then obviously we started the podcast here. And I think a lot of that journey was just playing around with different technology and things at the beginning to entertain us, and then from there expanding beyond that.
Yeah, matter of fact, that approach of creating a short movie is something that I am actively doing, especially during the summer. I run in Hodak Media, a summer program for youth. And we did, this is the second time we have done it. There's definitely going to be the third for this one, for them to learn how to create a short movie. So they know the whole process. Coming up with an idea, planning for it, prepare for it, and then practice it, film it, edit it, and try to make it as comprehensive as possible to what it is in real life. To make a short movie, could be for actual like screening or for television or an episode. So it's a combination of teaching them the real way things work, and at the same time, be creative and don't be afraid to explore and to be silly, and let's see what you can come up with. And of course, they chose to make a horror movie,
Awesome.
and it was so much fun for me. Was so I think I had the most fun of the whole bunch to see them planning, and then they came with props and costumes and things. Filming, really taking it seriously, because they knew this was going to be something that, if it was well done, it's gonna be a big thing. So they started playing and goofing with it, but then they realized how real it is and that they could make an actual big production. And that helped so much for them to figure out ways to work together, to find among themselves who has the skills for what, who was more like, okay, I'm gonna act, I'm gonna be the character. You know what? I don't feel comfortable on camera, but I want to be the one filming or doing all the behind the scenes. And others, no, I'm going to edit because I already know what I want to put in there for effects. So seeing all of that happening as a chain reaction of giving them an idea to get started with, that was, and the movie was good. So much fun. We ended up actually doing a screening
Oh,
of
wow.
the movie in the theater here at Holyoke Media, and popcorn and everything, so they could have the full experience of from idea to a screening with an audience. And I think this whole experience of doing something as simple as we were talking, we both did growing up, still today can happen, and it can actually open up so many opportunities and possibilities for social interactions, communication, sharing ideas, collaboration. And for me, the most important thing is to do it in a way that is not competitive. I know it's part of the culture in our society that you have to be the best and you have to beat everybody else. But in order to be able to do that, you also need to understand that you can only be successful when you make possible that the success can be shared or that others have that same opportunity of being successful as you are. Because the growth only happens when you have around you a good team or a good network of people who are on that level.
I agree with that 100%. And the fact that you really cut off any opportunity for you to learn if you feel like you have to be the best because you only see things as a competition as opposed to like, oh, that was really cool. Where did that come from? And trying to understand different processes and different ways of thinking. I think that's a really good reframe of what we were talking about. All right. So we got two questions coming at you to end the podcast for today. So the first one I'm going to hit you at is, if you could have any superpower, what would it be and why?
I know usually the first ones that come to mind, and it did at some point, it was to be invisible, but then thinking like, what for? Really, what for? Then the next one could be, okay, teletransportation. That could be pretty practical. But then also taking away the experience of traveling, the journey to getting to one point from another. It's kind of like, yeah, it's practical, but at the same time, you are missing on a lot. So if I were able to have a superpower right now, it would be to speak every single language that exists in this planet.
A good one. I like that one a lot. It's much better than mine, which is a hack to have every superpower where I would control probability. And so if, oh, like one in a million that I could speak every language, I'll be that one. That came from many years of loving superheroes as a kid and trying to figure out how I could hack the system to do what to whatever. But that's a good one because again, it's talking about exactly what we're talking about now is being able to communicate and reach out to people and connect with people. That's great. So the follow-up is always, what is your real life superpower? What quality do you have that feels like your biggest strength and your biggest ability to add to the world?
I think it will be an extremely high sense of perception to things. I can somehow tune in with people, with places, with situations in a way that is, I know that some people may say on a energy level, putting it in a more scientific perspective, I think it has to do with resonance. And for some reason, I have a high perception on all of that. So it makes me aware of a lot of things. Sometimes being that oversensitive can be a little bit too much. However, I definitely, when I get to enjoy something, the most simple things, I really get the whole spectrum of things. And it is something that I am aware of things. since I was little, and every day I enjoy of those small things. I know that sometimes I may stop in the middle of the street just to listen to what is happening because it's giving me so much, and I really thought in it. And that, imagine what happens when you are having connection with people. That becomes something that has helped me to even identify when someone needs words of support or even a moment of silence, but in company.
So good at this. They're bringing it back to everything that we were talking about before. So the very last thing I always like to end with asking the guests to say, if you could sum up, we've been talking a lot, but if you could sum up this episode of the podcast in almost like a 1 minute pitch, right, of what you want the listener to leave with, what the messaging might be, what would you say to the listener?
Don't be afraid to use your voice in general to say what's on your mind, what's in your heart, to be heard, and also to discover what your voice carries with you. Your voice is a representation of your life, your family, your ancestors, your culture, and your identity. And also is a way. One of the many ways we get opportunity to interact with others and communicate. I think it's important to use what we know, what we have experienced from younger years as a tool to find solutions and to find ways to figure out things in life today. Because even the most serious things are based in games. I mean, think about how do we train ourselves to survive in life. Everything started with a game. And I think when we are able to go back to that situation, we are able to disconnect from the stress and disconnect from the unnecessary noise on things and just see the things for what they are. So we can just be ourselves, because in the end, everything that we are doing is not about trying to be who we are not, but to find out how to be ourselves all the time.
Yeah. It's so apropos to, the state of where we're at right now as a community and a society, and I think very important words of wisdom to share with people. We also know, like, when you add fun to learning, you retain things so much more than if it's, you go study. If you can make it fun, it's in your brain more. We retain it so much more. So I think that's very true. But I'm going to ask you one favor. I know that we were talking about authentic voices and all of that's true, but I would love to get your signature sign-off voice at the end of this podcast in a minute, just to say goodbye to the listeners. But before that, I want to thank you for your time. It was an honor to sit with you and really looking forward to connecting more in the future with everything that you're doing.
Well, yeah, thank you so much, Dave. Thank you for this opportunity and also for the work you're doing. I think it's really important to connect with people and offer your platform as an opportunity for sharing stories and perspectives. That is something we all need. And providing that opportunity for people to talk and for people to listen is really valuable. I really appreciate that you're doing this.
Thank you.
And well, this is a joint production of podcast with Steve Opelinick and Johan Rashi Vega. You can listen online and everywhere you can find podcasts. Once again, I'm Johan Rashi Vega. Thank you for listening.